Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. As Americans become increasingly dissatisfied with their political system, activism appears on the rise. One of the organizations with a growing profile is Washington, D.C.-based Issue One. Former Northern Indiana Democratic Congressional Representative and Obama-appointed Ambassador to India, Tim Romer, co-chairs Issue One's Reformers Caucus to help with the work of correcting that system as part of the group's Fix Politics Now campaign. Romer spoke with WBOI News Director Rebecca Green, who began their conversation by asking how the former congressman and ambassador got involved with Issue One.
I was concerned about what I saw happening, not only in Congress, where only 8% of people have a great deal of trust in our United States Congress these days, the Gallup polls, wherever you look, Americans of both Republican and Democratic parties are losing trust in their precious democratic institutions. Just across the board, when you see these elections, the volatility and the whipsawing going from one to the other, we know Americans are not happy with the gridlock and the frustration they see in our American political system. So I became involved in this bipartisan effort, recruiting former members of Congress, ambassadors, cabinet secretaries, Democrats, Republicans, Blue Dogs, conservatives, Tea Party, liberals, to put as issue one the health and the viability of our republic, our democratic republic. We're working on that now, and we're making progress.
Was this something that you saw prior to the 2016 election, or is the where we are now, is this a new problem?
No, it's not a new problem. It's been happening for several years, but it's getting worse going up to and through the 2016 election. When I used to run for my congressional office from my hometown and had the honor of representing South Bend and Mishawaka and northern Indiana in the United States Congress, I'd spend 10 or 15% of my time raising money. I would raise a lot of it from people in Indiana, spaghetti suppers and fish fries and, you know, small donor fundraisers. I'd raise $1 million, somebody else as an opponent would raise $1 million, and we would, hopefully respectfully, but we would go at it hard. Today, Rebecca, we have a system where that $1 million race is now $5 million for the Democrat and the Republican to raise, and a lot of that is coming from inside Washington money, not Indiana money. And then on top of that, you have these outside secret dark money organizations that are spending millions and millions of dollars attacking both candidates in Indiana. Nobody knows who these groups are. Nobody knows where they're getting their money. And they're increasingly deciding who is winning. And so people from outside Indiana are determining who we in Indiana can elect to our offices. That's wrong. That's too much of a sway of big money and secret money in our political system. We have to take that system back and put the people in charge again, put we the people in charge and the consent of the governed in charge, not just people who can give money to elections.
Is this something that was created by the Citizens United decision or exacerbated by that?
Both created and exacerbated by Citizens United. We've seen a tsunami of money flood into the system now where, you know, there is little accountability, there is little transparency, there is almost no oversight from an organization to implement and the law. When somebody breaks the law as a member of Congress, the Federal Election Commission is supposed to be there to fix things and prosecute somebody. They're worthless and feckless and don't do their jobs. So we have to make sure that we ensure that there is transparency, accountability, ethics in our government, that big money just doesn't sway what happens. It's the people that are in charge. That's what the founders intended. That's what people like Washington and Adams and Jefferson said, that we had a new system, a democratic republic, a system where the average person was going to be in charge, not a king, not a queen, not a monarchy, not people with money. The beauty of our system was the core strength was its people, and the ordinary person had the major voice. That is not the case today, and we need to make sure that we restore the health and vibrancy and accountability of our government.
How do you explain this new venture to a citizenry that is becoming increasingly cynical, increasingly exhausted by cries of fake news and now data mining and all of these things that seem to erode our free will? You have gerrymandering in there as well. How do you get them involved?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I'd say three things to it. One, I'd say, we call ourselves Issue One. We've recruited 191 former members of Congress to our cause, both Democrats and Republicans. These are people that may disagree on guns. They may disagree on a balanced budget. They may disagree on climate issues. We agree, all 191 of us strong, that our republic is the most important thing to us. When I served as U.S. ambassador to India and lived overseas, the lesson came to me every day. People came up to me saying, America is magical. America is the place where dreams come true. America is a place where the people are in charge, you know, not an aristocracy or a rich plutocracy or, you know, kings and queens. It's the people. We need to make that a unifying cause in America. We all care deeply about that system being accountable and transparent and strong. Secondly, both Senator Sanders and Donald Trump, when they campaigned in 2016, campaigned on this issue, and the people responded to it. Sad thing is, nothing's been done since 2016 in the election. Bernie Sanders said, a corrupt campaign system corrupts our economic system, and the middle class doesn't get what they need with economic policy. Donald Trump said, you know, I bought everybody on this stage by giving them money, and I got them to do, quoting him, whatever the hell I wanted them to do by giving them a check, the system's broken, unquote. So Trump said we got to drain the swamp. Sanders said the system's corrupted, and it corrupts the political system and the economic system. Yet since 2016, nothing has been done. The swamp is deeper, and there are more alligators in it, and the system's not working for the American people. And lastly, I'd say, Ben Franklin challenged us all. When he was asked after Independence Hall and creating our government, our system of checks and balances, what have you produced? He said, a republic if you can keep it. We have to work to keep it. It's not up to people in D.C. or Indianapolis to keep it. It's our jobs to fight for that government and make people accountable.
I've seen a couple of opinion articles in a variety of publications over the course of the last month that have said things about democracy becoming a partisan issue. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I certainly am worried when I see this, and I share your sensitivity and your picking this up lately. You know, if you pick up, if you go to the bookstore, you know, used bookstore, or a new bookstore, and you see all these books coming out. I think there have probably been a dozen in the last few months, all saying that our democracy is in deep trouble. They think that this is the most volatility and difficulty that we've had in our government in decades and decades. So people are pointing to it. They're worried about it on both sides of the aisle, conservative and liberal, Democrat, Republican, red state, blue state alike. That is a shared concern. There is this notion that it is something that's tiring. You know, it's exhausting to, you know, wade into the system and make it, you know, responsive to us and make it accountable. That's the way the system was designed. We have to do that. And, you know, we see it. And on an optimistic note, we see it happening, you know, right in front of our faces. These high school students down in Florida are peacefully protesting, powerfully protesting in the streets. They're marching. They're going to their state government in Florida. They're going nationally to Washington, D.C. To march to do something about guns. You could agree or disagree with what they're doing. The fact of the matter is they are fighting tenaciously for a voice and their power to be felt. And that's the way the system works. That's the only way that we will, you know, reclaim our democratic republic and make sure the people are in charge, not the tsunami of dark money that's flooding the system these days.
You sound almost encouraged.
I feel that America, you know, goes through tough times, Rebecca. We go through ups and downs and cycles. You know, we're going through some difficult times where people are discouraged about certain things in our system. I think both Democrats and Republicans feel like Washington doesn't hear them. The lobbyists and the special interests and donors are all at the front of the line, and the people are clamoring to be heard, and they're at the back. But I think there are things that are happening that give me hope and optimism. These students in Florida, they're not changing the debate overnight, but we've seen through their, you know, power and their protests and their voices, the private sector is acting. Dick's Sporting Good raised the age of gun purchases, due in large part to these students and these high school students getting involved. Different states, I think four or five states have already acted to take measures to do something about guns. It wasn't because they necessarily thought it was the best thing to do. They listened to the voices of democracy and these students and their powerful protests and peaceful protests. So, yeah, I'm encouraged by that. And I think if people get together to demand their democracy back and their republic back and their voices back, they say in this upcoming election, we want to know where our candidates are on this. Are they going to work in a bipartisan way in Washington to restore accountability, to address big money and dark money, to make the system transparent so we know where money is being spent and by whom? That's important.
One of the things I noticed in a blog post on Issue One's website was a mention that of the importance of political norms. Regardless of what side of the aisle people may be on, there is an understanding that these norms have taken a beating. We've run through some of the rural stop signs, and there's not a cop on the block for these things. It's kind of out there on the honor system. Is that something we can restore? These things that maybe we took for granted in decades past?
I think that's a very key question, and it's up to us. Up to us as citizens. That's our power. That's our responsibility. I grew up in Mishawaka in South Bend, Indiana, and my parents drilled into the five of us that the norms of American character are about respect and kindness to others and listening to others and appreciating diversity and fighting for what you believe in. Today in a political system, there is no respect in it. People demonize each other. They, on social media, attack each other and don't sign their name to it. Cowardly thing to do. Social media has taken on, you know, too much importance, especially with our young people, where they get their confidence from how many likes they get on Facebook rather than their friendships and what people say to them face to face. Yeah, this is American character that we have to get back. Respect for each other, telling the truth, admitting when we're wrong, respecting people from the other party and not making them out to be enemies and trying to destroy them. That destroys, our American character and our respect for differing opinions. So I think that's a key issue here. And I was on college campus the other day and challenged the students there. You know, don't always use social media. Don't always feel like you got to tweet something. Sit down with people you disagree with and listen to why you disagree with one another. Don't just make friends with people you agree with. The Democratic and Republican groups on campus need to come together and invite Democrats and Republicans together on campus to debate an issue. And then you could ask them both together questions in the same auditorium, not protesting each other's choices that come on campus and not letting people from the other party come on campus to talk. That's not the way the system's supposed to work. So, you know, this is a key question that we all have to get to the bottom of. You know, it's about American character. It's about respect for one another. It's about the kind of values that our parents and grandparents taught us in Indiana and growing up there.
Ambassador, Representative Romer, thank you so much for your time.
You too. Take care. Thank you again for the time.
6th District Councilman Glenn Hines has served the southeast side of Fort Wayne for nearly two decades. And with another election cycle on the way, he has chosen not to seek re-election. WBOI's Zach Bernard caught up with Hines to talk about the reason for his decision and what he hopes to see in the final 18 months of his term. Their conversation began on Hines' proudest achievements on Fort Wayne's southeast side.
We were able to get a degree of economic development and housing initiatives completed. As you well know, I came in office in 99, and in 2007, we were able to finally reopen Southtown Center, which had been Southtown Mall, and that was a real eyesore. So I think that was the first big one. Housing initiative-wise, what is now known as Renaissance Area, that's, you know, that's where we had a tire fire, and then we got new housing. Most recently, Villages of Hanna and the Bottle Works building, the old Coca-Cola building being renovated. Over 100 new houses have been built over in 46806 zip code. So I think between economic development and the housing initiatives, we're pretty proud of those two.
That's a lot of significant progress in that time. So why did you decide not to seek re-election this time around?
Well, it'll be next year, it'll be 20 years. And I don't believe in term limits, but I do believe, you know, in individually, if you're a politician, you need to say when it's time to move on and let somebody else come along. I don't think that, you know, you should be in office forever. And I don't know, you know, like with the president, it's 8 years in city council. I was fortunate enough to serve, will have served for 20 years. And I think that's plenty of time. And there's a lot of other people in the community that are doing good things that want to step up and do city council. And I've been talking to a number of them and encouraging them to, you know, plan your work and work your plan. Find out what the job is all about. Get your messaging out there, raise some money, and whoever wins in the Democratic primary next year, I'll be supporting as my replacement.
And that leads to my next question. You've always been such a huge advocate for the 6th District in Fort Wayne, but with your departure from council, has there been anyone in particular that you've seen as sort of an early front runner that would be a good possible candidate to take that spot, or has it just been...
Over the years, I've been working with a number of outstanding servant leaders in our community. So there's not one, but there's probably four or five individuals that are servant leaders in the community that could very well step in and take my be my replacement. So no, I'm not supporting any one person today. I've been working with, like I said, four or five over the years that I'm confident in, and whichever one of them decides to run and whichever one wins the primary next year, I'll be supporting him or her.
With a year and a half remaining on your term, are there any projects or priorities for the southeast side that you hope are seen through?
Well, the biggest one is Prophet Walker and the Posterity Heights. That project is really big. The first two buildings are up, and that's for the single parent living quarters, and they'll be able to commute to work or to school. There'll be daycare there, but there's additional condominiums, market-rate housing, commercial and retail development on that site. It's a huge site, and I want to see that through to make sure we get that completed. And also, I'm trying to get a grocery store, a major grocery store, located over in 46806, somewhere in the Hanna Creighton area. Anthony, Pontiac, somewhere in that area, because it's a food desert. And the citizens really need a grocery store in that area, so we're working on that. Those would be probably my two biggest projects within the next 18 months.
Now, during your State of the 6th District address, which took place a few weeks ago, you were awarded the Sagamore of the Wabash. Now, that's a pretty high honor in Indiana, so tell me what it meant to receive that award from the community.
Number one, I was in shock because I didn't anticipate it. And then as I thought about, you know, before I took office, you know, I used to be the director of a thing called Stop the Madness, and I've worked with what's called the Youth Empowerment Seminar. I work with the Social Status for African American Males, the Martin Luther King Club. So I've been involved for a number of years, probably 40 years. I've been quite involved in the community. So I was just appreciative of Representative Gia Quinta, who actually initiated that request to the governor. I appreciate the governor for actually awarding me such high esteem award. And it just humbled me to, you know, to the point that I was just glad that I had received it, and I'll continue even after I step down as city councilman. I'll continue to contribute in whatever ways I can within the community.
Well, Councilman Hines, that's all I had on the doc. As far as I'm concerned, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, just that I've appreciated the confidence that the citizens of the 6th District have placed in me for, well, now 19 years, going on 20. And every day I take it, you know, as an honor to serve in this community. And I look forward to the next 18 months before I retire.
Stay with us. There's much more to come on WBOI Presents.